Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of you out there in the listening audience, because it's Open Line Wednesday, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. So please give us a call. Our number's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I thought maybe we'd start the program this evening by certainly talking about Edward Snowden, the young man who, of course, making a couple of $100,000 a year, who now is a fugitive from his own country because he told the truth. And he exposed, certainly, the fact that our security agencies are listening to all of our telephone calls and reading all of our, certainly our emails and faxes, but he's being called a traitor. Dianne Feinstein has called him a traitor. Certainly John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, of course, who leads the Republican Party, said that this man is a traitor because, of course, he's given information to our enemies, given information to the terrorists, so that now, of course, they know how we're monitoring them, and they're going to change their means of communication. And what he has done more harm to America than, of course, anybody else has done, because he's revealed these very, very secret techniques that we were using to protect the American people. Well, we'd like to know what you think about that. Do you really think that he's a traitor? Or do you think that he should have been more discreet? He may should perhaps try to contact people and said that he felt that it was wrong to this sort of thing. But going to the newspapers and letting everybody in the world know that, oh, suddenly our government was reading telephone or emails and reading faxes, that they have the ability to do that. And basically, of course, isn't that going to help the terrorists? What do you think? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, of course, Congressman Ron Paul has said that he thinks maybe they'll probably kill this young man. He's actually asked for asylum in Iceland and or in Russia or in Hong Kong. He's afraid to come home because he knows he'll be put into prison. And basically, he's given up everything in his life with the foolish idea that if you just told the American people the truth, it would make a difference. Do you really think it's going to make any difference? There are an awful lot of people who really believe we've got to be defended against the terrorists. After all, we can't let the terrorists destroy this country, can we? And certainly, do we want to make it easier for them to do the things that they're doing? Well, I'd like to know what you think. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. It's open lines. And, well, let's go to Tony, who's calling us from San Jose. Tony, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Stan.
Oh, good to have you with us. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We got Tony from San Jose. What are your thoughts about it? Do you think that suddenly this young man is doing the wrong thing? Did he do the right thing?
I'm not sure. I'm glad that somebody within the NSA has had the courage to come out and say what he did. It basically, that they're tracking all phone calls like this one, things like Facebook, everything on Google, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of people know that they've been doing this for a very long time. It's not just something that's recent.
Okay, but should he have actually put this out publicly and embarrassed the United States? Did he have the right to let the terrorists know what we were doing? There's a question, and I'm going to have to let you go, Tony, because we're going to a break. And now we've got somebody from the intelligence agency, spent most of his life working for the CIA. Well, let's find out what he thinks, okay?
Thank you.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
This is Dr. Stan, and with us on the line is John Quirk. John's just back from Turkey. He's been over there for some time. Now, John, you were with the CIA for how long? How many years?
Oh, intelligence community over 27 years.
All right, 27 years. Now he has his own business. It has to do with the funding and getting funds and tracking funds down. But you've been over in Turkey. Do you want to talk about what's going on over there? Because there's a tremendous amount of unrest over there. Apparently, a lot of the people there don't want this new government that has been installed by Mr. Gulen, who is living in Pennsylvania. Mr. Gulen, one of the richest men in the world, has suddenly replaced the secular Turkish government with an Islamic Turkish government. Is that the basis of the demonstrations going on? Can you fill us in with what's really happening?
Well, it's a good question. Yeah, I've been there over the last year. I was invited to help set up the new National Security Center in October. And in February, I was teaching, and in March, and shortly after I was teaching, the Islamists closed the National Security Center because women were running it, women were teaching, and the Islamists have basically infiltrated almost every aspect of the government. The issue that we have now, these protests around a square where an apartment building complex and a commercial complex were being planned, was just a pretext by secular Turks to make a complaint that they were concerned about Islamists taking over the country. And what you have is you have Jews, there's 12 synagogues, many Christians, you have Kurds, which have been a minority in Turkey, and you have secular Turks, which I describe as Democrats and capitalists,
very upset at what Mr. Erdogan has been doing as far as moving the country more to Islam. Now, if you look back in the Ottoman Empire, Turkey was a very, very tolerant Islamic state. There were never any persecutions of Jews. In fact, after the Spanish Inquisition, when the Catholic Church was persecuting the Jews from Spain all fled to Turkey. They speak their own language, a version of Spanish, and they've prospered. They've prospered since 1400, and they've never had any trouble. The problem is Mr. Gulen. Now, Mr. Gulen, which a lot of people don't know who he is richer than Oprah, Warren Buffett, and Bill Gates put together.
I think, would you repeat that? He is richer than Oprah, Warren Gates, and Warren Buffett and Bill Gates put together. And he's living in Pennsylvania, and he was actually driven out of the country by the secular Turkish government because they knew he was going to overthrow them, and he did. He, operating out of Pennsylvania, but with the help of very powerful forces, he has replaced the moderate, certainly secular Turkish government with a radical, increasingly radical Islamist government. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, to a certain extent, Gulen made a deal with Erdogan, and Erdogan was basically pandering for Islamic votes. He wanted that constituency, and here's the deal. Erdogan is, you know, they accuse him of being like an iman and very pro-Islam, but he's not. You ask a question, is he a statesman? Yes. Is he a politician? Very much, and he wanted votes. So Gulen put his media empire, his university, his newspapers, magazines, all of his journalists to support Erdogan. Now, this is where the rub comes in. Erdogan probably gave Gulen too much, but Gulen was not satisfied. He wanted to put his Gulen cadres into the security services. He made Erdogan arrest the military, put hundreds and hundreds of generals and journalists in jail, and he wanted more and more. He wanted an Islamic State. So Erdogan, when he visited Mr. Obama a few weeks ago, finally broke with him. He finally broke with him.
He broke with Gulen.
He broke with Gulen completely. And let me just give you some history. Back in 2008, Gulen had to leave Turkey, and he went and built this fortified compound in Philadelphia.
Now, basically, he was forced to leave. I mean, they wanted to get rid of him, didn't they? I mean, they didn't trust this man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because at that stage, he was getting too bullish on trying to get so many jobs. 75% of the police are Gulen members in Turkey. The military is not. The military are members of the Mason. Secular Turks started becoming disenchanted with Mr. Erdogan because, let me tell you what else Mr. Erdogan is doing. He wants an economic and financial Ottoman Empire, not a religious Ottoman Empire. He wants an economic and financial Ottoman Empire. Turkey is the new Switzerland. He has been encouraging and advocating billions of dollars to flow into Turkey from Libya, Egypt, Jordan, Somalia, even Saudi Arabia, because people in a lot of those countries are worried about another Arab Spring, or they're worried about the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Billions and billions of dollars are flowing into Turkey. It is super prosperous. There are cranes and construction all over. The Turks are buying apartments and buildings in Miami. They're investing in the United States. So what Gulen started doing was a fifth column effort in Turkey, and he was forced out under a criminal investigation. Now, he came to America, started all these hundreds of charter schools in Texas and in England and all over the United States. They're Turkish Islamic charter schools. And he built a big compound in Philadelphia. Now, the FBI started investigating him in 2010 for conspiracy, fraud, money laundering, illegal fundraising, and he beat it. And some say he beat it because elements of the FBI's sister agency wanted to develop Gulen as an asset.
By the sister agency, you're talking about the CIA as working very closely with Gulen. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's the rumor. That's what secular Turks believe.
Okay.
So the FBI investigation disappeared. Now this is what's happened. Gulen is portraying himself as what I call Muslim light, that he is a very gentle interpreter of Sharia law and the Quran, and he would never turn Turkey into a state like Iran. I completely disagree with that. I think he's a subversive. He's a fifth columnist. We gave him sanctuary here, and he still controls scores of various Islamic groups in Turkey. Let me go down them. He's infiltrated the universities where secular Turks are afraid of saying anything because they'll get fired. They don't want women. They don't want women wearing lipstick. They want more women wearing the veil. They're passing all these ridiculous laws against women. They can only go up so far in the government. And it was, you know, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk in the 1920s gave women rights, more rights than any other Islamic country. Gulen's people are trying to reverse it. And you see, this is the real interpretation that we're looking at of Islam that people don't talk about. Islam is not a dogma like Christianity or Judaism, or certainly like the Catholic Church with rituals and dogma. Judaism has dogma. Christianity has dogma. Islam is an ideology. It's very simple for people to follow. When was the last time you heard leaders of Islam condemn any terrorist attacks? They just don't do it. They're like sheep. They never object to anything because Islam follows Sharia law, and it is a very simple religion, and it is a growing religion, okay? And this is one of the problems with the United States. So where Islam in Turkey is, it is now not only wanting to overthrow the secular government in Turkey, what they want to do is completely fight American capitalism and democracy. Now, he's doing it very cleverly. Right now, the demonstrations against Erdogan are all secular Turks because they feel the country's moved too much to Islam. And Erdogan gave Gulen his hand, and Gulen took the arm and wants to take the rest of the body. So Islamists are in the background. They're waiting. They're using the secular Turks to demonstrate and try to overthrow the Erdogan government, so they can position themselves like the Muslim Brotherhood did in Egypt, different group, but they did the same thing, so they can completely take over Turkey. And let me tell you, if we lose Turkey, which a lot of our policymakers believe may go that way, we are going to lose all of the Middle East and Central Asia. And the proof of the pudding is our own foreign policy today, Obama's foreign policy, is extremely confused. Now, I don't mean that to denigrate them, but our policymakers don't know what to do. They don't want to start another war, and they're talking about putting billions into what they call emerging Islamic democracies. Now, a year ago, I would say maybe that was a good idea, but since I've been on the ground in Turkey and dealing with Iranians and many, many different kinds of groups, including Kurds. I sent you a bunch of articles about my involvement with the PKK and the Kurds. I can tell you that it's going to be very difficult for the United States to get along with Islam in any part of that world.
I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're going to a break. But ladies and gentlemen, here's one of the richest men in the world. Why do you think that the the media never talk about him. Oh, you see an occasional article. There was an article in the New York Times saying what a wonderful moderate guy this is. And he's not a wonderful moderate guy. I mean, he is certainly has literally thousands of Islamic schools all throughout the Near East and the Middle East, 100, 150, here in America, teaching Turkish culture, which we're financing. And he wants to actually push this radical regime.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what we do sell. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. 8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly John is saying that our whole foreign policy is shifting. Now, remember, John's been with intelligence agencies for 27 years. He's been working for past year over in Turkey, and he's basically pointing out that they certainly we have a number of people in key positions in government today. We have Brennan at the CIA, we have Sidney Carey. We have Hagel, certainly, at the in the Defense Department. We have Susan Rice, and she's the new National Security Advisor. Powers is going to be the United Nations delegate, and of course, we've got Hillary in the background. But he's just saying that basically these people have acknowledged we're going to have to go ahead and begin pulling out our influence over there in the Middle East. Now that, of course, we've toppled Egypt and Tunisia and Libya, and certainly and they're all, of course, turning towards this radical form of Islam. However, certainly it would appear that the Shia crescent is going to persist, and that is Iran, it's Iraq, it's Syria and Hezbollah in Lebanon. That's the Shia crescent. And basically, we're beginning to pull back from our influence there after certainly spending the lives of so many of our young men, not just those who were killed, 6,000 or 7,000, but 35,000 or 40,000 will be crippled for the rest of their lives as a result of our going over there. And we failed in everything. And now we're going to begin shifting our emphasis more towards the Pacific, towards the rebuilding the Philippines and having more influence as far as China and the other countries over there. So go ahead, pick up the story, John.
Well, there's also, you know, we can talk about Iran in a few minutes, but there's also a problem that's happening in our own country. We are letting large numbers of Muslims, they're not all bad, but expand mosque development and pushing Sharia law. We're letting Gulen establish charter schools all over the United States and putting his billions into this type of thing. For, you know, maybe 5, 10, 15 years, they're going to start expanding Sharia law if they can get away with it. I think most Americans are going to resist it, and Sharia banking. And what the other foreign policy problem, where we talk about our foreign policy overseas, one of the catalysts is that more and more Americans are starting to form in this country anti-government movements. There's a whole list of scores of conspiracy theories, whether FEMA is building concentration camps or whether Obama is trying to restrict ammunition, whether the UN is taking over. But what's happening is you're getting many, many Americans joining anti-government groups against
the IS. Isn't there some concern, legitimate concern, about moving towards a surveillance society, you know, with the cameras every place and everybody numbered and dossiers on everybody? But the fact now that we finally found they've been listening to all of our telephone calls and reading all of our faxes and emails, and then they've been lying to us about it. The president simply, frankly, lied. Don't the people have a right to be somewhat concerned?
Well, I'm not saying that they don't have a right to be concerned. I'm saying that many groups are starting to form what I would call radical groups against the government. They have, look at this IRS thing is ridiculous. I'm not a member of the Tea Party, but I'm a conservative Republican, and I find it outrageous that the IRS would target political groups. And the media does not seem to get all upset about it. I think the media in this country has covered Obama for the last 8 years, and people are upset about that. Very seldom do they really criticize Mr. Obama. I don't know why they're not calling for Mr. Holder's resignation. He's managed several scandals that are going on. Benghazi seems to drop off the face of the news. And so Americans are upset with the media. They're upset with the IRS. They're upset, yes, with surveillance. And I think a lot of these things are causing reactionary groups to go a little extreme in what they're doing against our own government. So these things are starting to fragment in this country, and we're starting to fragment to a certain extent overseas. I mean, I don't know why we're building up against China, because China and the United States trade constantly. We'll never be able to stop them spying, but the Chinese have agreed not to build the Blue Water Navy, which means they cannot push us out of the Pacific. We're not leaving the Pacific. We're not going to completely leave the Middle East. And I think what we have to do, this is my humble opinion, we have to stop spending money in these areas in terms of Muslim countries. Stop giving them a lot of foreign aid. stop giving them all kinds of sophisticated military equipment, and be very judicious on a plan for emerging Islamic democracy. You know, the administration and a lot of the liberals feel it's better to drop television sets and refrigerators on them instead of bombs.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John is saying that he's met certainly with many Israelis being over in that area for a time. And basically, of course, that the Israelis certainly don't like Obama, and they don't trust Obama. And the Israelis are saying very quietly and privately, we're going to go on our own because we can't trust the United States to look after us. But he says, and he claims that they have said that they are not going to attack Iran. Now, we hear a lot of talk about the red line, and suddenly that as soon as Iran gets close to the point where they're going to be able to create a nuclear weapon, well, Israel's going to have to attack. What John is saying is that Israel is not going to attack Iran, that they're going to use computer viruses, they're going to sabotage their centrifuges, they're going to use all sorts of other techniques to disrupt them so that it will be incapable of building a nuclear bomb. Because, of course, Iran is concerned about America's real support for them. Israel is concerned about their support for them. Israel is very concerned about Russia. Israel certainly is looking at Syria and figure that Assad is probably going to be able to stay in a position of power there. He's not going to be toppled, despite all of the efforts of the United States and of England and France and Saudi Arabia and Qatar to topple Assad. He is going to be able to stay in power in in Syria, it looks like, at the present time. Would that be a fair assessment of your thoughts?
Absolutely. And the United States may give them some aid to refugees going into Jordan, refugees going into Turkey. They may give them food and supplies. They may even give them some intelligence. But part of the problem is that some of the fighters against Assad are al-Qaeda and radicals. The United States does not have the will to put boots on the ground or even put in a no-fly zone like Senator McCain wants. And they're hoping that attrition will reduce it. Israel, however, is poised more against Syria and Hezbollah than it is even against Iran, because if they find out these hundreds of chemical weapons depots get in the hands of anybody, Syria will go in. I mean, Israel will go into Syria, and the Syrians are very careful about that. But not only the Russians helping Syria, okay, Iranian military officers are on the ground. You have Russian officers. You have Hezbollah fighters there. You have people coming, Shia even coming out of Iraq helping Syria. And it's causing trouble in the whole area, destabilizing force.
Well, basically, just the one thing nobody's discussing is China. Does China playing any influence at all in what's going on over there in Syria? In other words, are they helping the Russians behind the scenes?
Absolutely.
To stabilize it? Yeah, okay.
No, fine. No, they're an agent provocateur. They wouldn't have done this 10 years ago, but as they have increased their power, their diplomatic power, their military power, their economic power, they're no longer afraid of offending the United States. We can see that in several examples. Their cyber attacks against the United States, they don't invite the United States to any meetings in India, Burma, Southeast Asia. They go out of their way covertly and through subversion to make sure we don't get invited to economic conferences, political, historical conferences. And they've expanded tremendously. While we've been focusing on the Middle East, they've expanded tremendously in Africa, Latin America, Venezuela, all the shipping lanes between on the Caribbean. So they're doing it for economic reasons, but they're also doing it for espionage and also for military reasons. And yes, they help Syria, certainly with weapons, and there's not a doggone thing we can do about it. Now, the other thing I was going to say, the problem of not attacking Iran and at least attacking some of their nuclear research facilities by the United States and or Israel with the U.S. supporting them is that the whole idea of proliferation is starting to raise its ugly head. Now the Saudis are worried that if we don't do something about Iran, what's going to happen? Maybe they should develop nuclear weapons. The same with the Egyptians. The same with the Turks, for that matter. So this is a domino effect of not taking a military action against them. I think our weakness at this stage, and it's probably too late from Bush to Obama, we should have done it then, is going to cause greater problems in the next few years.
Well, you know, some people claim that suddenly Pakistan had to have financial help to develop their nuclear bombs, and they got some from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia helped Pakistan, and as a result, some people think that Saudi actually either may have access to the bombs or actually have a couple of hidden nuclear bombs. Could there be any truth to that at all, do you think?
No, they do not, because our special forces troops, believe it or not, do the executive protection for the Saudi royal family. CIA has tremendous contacts and cadres in Saudi Arabia, but the Saudis do. They have started a nuclear research program. It's basically scientists, engineers, and they're playing their options to see what happens with Iran, because Saudi Arabia's dire enemy is Iran. It's the Sunnis in Saudi against the Shia and Iranians. So that's going on. And if these Islamic countries start to get nuclear weapons like Pakistan, or if Iran gets them, and then Saudi and Egypt want them, we're all in very much trouble.
Well, of course, Pakistan does have a fair number of nuclear weapons today. Oh, so they would Pakistan, do you think, share those with other Sunni countries? Is actually Pakistan independent, or is it allied with the Sunni bloc? Is it aligned with the Shia bloc? Or do we really more or less control what's going on in Pakistan today?
We do control the nuclear arsenal in Pakistan today. We do control it. But remember the Khan, Mohammad Khan, gave nuclear research to Iran, to North Korea, and probably to several of our other enemies.
Okay? For our listeners out there, Khan, of course, was the scientist who actually developed the nuclear weapons for Pakistan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, he developed them, and then he helped the North Koreans, and he helped the Chinese, and he certainly helped the Iranians make tremendous headway. You know, and all he got was house arrest. So this is, you know, these are the problems, and he did a lot of it, not only from Pakistan, but he had... His whole office is in Holland for many years, and people knew what he was doing, and they basically let him get away with it. He wasn't even criminally prosecuted or sanctioned by the International Atomic Energy Commission. So this is a problem. But Israel, you see, Israel is expanding its navy dramatically. They now have the third largest submarine fleet after the United States and Egypt. They're expanding their naval bases, even though it's a little teeny country. They are way ahead of everybody in drone production for both revenue and making alliances with their spy and their military drones. They are a military superpower in the Middle East that could take on four or five countries at one time. And they're going to increase their science, their technology, their military, and the country is doing very well economically. And a lot of people don't know this. They have secret agreements with Turkey, which the Islamists did not want. Israel apologized to the Turks a few months ago in an alliance that the United States, Turkey, and Israel had against Iran, and in kind of an agreement that nobody would attack Turkey. Requested this of Mr. Obama, and Mr. Obama agreed, and Israel reluctantly agreed that we would not attack Iran. And the Turks are also somewhat influential in Iran because there's millions of Turks that live in Iran, and there's many Iranians that come in and do business in Turkey. And Turkey is a country that gets along with everybody. If you look at a map, Turkey borders Iraq. They border all the key countries. They border Syria. They border Iran, Armenia. They're close to Georgia, Azerbaijan, right across the water. Russian ships come in. They border Greece, Bulgaria. They're in a very key position. So, and they get along with everybody. Turkey gets along with everybody. That's why Gulen is so intent on trying to overthrow the government, because he wants all of that region, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, all of these countries, to fall under the will of Islam. And as you know, Turkey is a NATO ally, and they even get along with Iran, although there's a rub in certain areas, but Turks do not want to go to war with anybody. They're becoming so prosperous that they see that as something that would jeopardize their future. The thing that jeopardizes everybody's future in the world in these areas are Islamists taking over the country and incorporating Sharia law, radical Islamists, okay? Even the ones that say they want democracy, whether it's in Libya or Egypt, eventually, even if they get elected as Democrats like they have in Egypt, there is tremendous pressure to start using the Quran over the legal system and over the democratic constitution. And they keep saying, look it, we need more Islamic law, Islamic finance, and so on. And this is the problem with all of these countries that have secular governments like Turkey, like Afghanistan, like Uzbekistan, like Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, they're all secular governments, but they have large Islamic populations that are starting to infiltrate the political system. And this is a big, big problem, certainly for the United States, because we are, our foreign policy, as I said, is based on expanding democracy and capitalism.
But my understanding was that the military, U.S. military, had supervised the new constitutions in both Afghanistan and Iraq and imposed Sharia law. In other words, the constitution called for Sharia law. Is that true?
No, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle there, okay? There have been acceptances of partial Sharia law, and I'll tell you how it starts, because this is my background. It starts in the finance area, because, you see, Sharia banking, which Sharia law influences, is a long historical type of banking that they use in these countries. Now, Western banks, even in the United States, in Chicago and Washington, D.C., and everywhere, are starting Islamic banks, okay? Give you an idea, the United States, we have a thing called the Overseas Private Investment Corporation. They funded and built the bank in Turkey. And part of the bank is an Islamic bank, which means it follows Sharia. It has to do with commissions and mortgages and things like that and the way they transfer money, okay? So their financial system gives way to influencing the political system, not the other way around. The political system does not dictate the banking system. And this is an old type of thing that is cited by both Shia and the Sunni. So if you go to Dubai, if you go to the Gulf States, if you go now into Switzerland, there's Islamic banks. It's the way they move money, transfer money, and the way they give money for mortgages and things like that. So it's very much in conflict with our society, our Western culture and society.
Well, because my understanding is that they do not allow charging of interest. They think that's immoral. I'm not certain how the banks make money, but the difference between their system and ours is built upon debt and interest. How do they make money if they can't charge interest?
Well, they do the same thing. They just don't call it interest. It's a hypocritical thing. They say that they don't charge interest, but they pay commissions and fees.
Okay.
They wouldn't be able to survive, and they're all rich. I mean, the Islamic banks in Turkey are now getting billions of dollars. Turkey eventually will have more money. There's money. I'll tell you where the money's flowing from. And I teach a course at Istanbul Commerce Ticaret University. I teach a course on economic and financial intelligence. Money is flowing into Turkey by the old radicals like in Mubarak and Gaddafi's family, by the new Democrats that are afraid that they may not survive their democracy, so they want a safe place to put money. And a lot of money is flowing out of Europe from Switzerland and Liechtenstein into Istanbul. Now, why? Istanbul, under Erdogan, money is very available. You can get a bank loan, buy a house, even though, you know, a house on the Bosphorus in Turkey is worth 10 times more than the most expensive house in Carmel or Pebble Beach or the Monterey Peninsula. But you can go in and you can get a loan for a business. You can get a loan for anything because they have billions and trillions of dollars. And here's part of the deal. They've opened up tourism by all the Muslim countries now go into Istanbul. They visit the underground cisterns. You can't get into the mosque. They have different kinds of clothes nobody have ever seen before, because now a lot of these countries in Libya, Tunisia, Chad, Somalia, they're sending daily hundreds, thousands of Muslim pilgrims to Turkey. And here's the deal. You can start a business very easy in Turkey. They'll give you money if you're an entrepreneur. They'll give you money to buy a house. So the Turks have never been more rich. They've never been rich, richer than they are. The banks are loaded with money. And 15 years ago, they were basically illiquid. Turkey today is doing much better than most of the European Union's, maybe except for Germany. They're economically unbelievably stable because of all the Muslim money coming in.
Well, now, many years ago, of course, Turkey was deeply involved with the opium trade. Are they still involved in the opium trade with drugs?
No, they have very good drug enforcement. Okay. The Drug Enforcement Administration has many offices all through Turkey. They've controlled that.
Okay, fine. Well, Sydney, our guest has been John Quirk, and John has spent 27 years working for the intelligence agencies. I first met him back in Washington, D.C., probably a decade ago, but at a meeting of the conservative leaders of this country, and we've been friends ever since then, and he's kept us appraised of what's really going on in the world as he travels to various countries. And of course, he's been living for almost a year over there, certainly in Turkey. And I hope this evening you get his views of what's going on. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program, and John will be a guest on some of our other programs here in the near future.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I wanted you to hear John because he's been over there. He thinks that the situation as far as Syria and Israel has just sort of simmered down, that the violence will certainly taper off. He does not think that there's going to be an attack, an Israeli attack on Iran. We're just going to have to see how this whole thing plays out. But what we try to give you is a different worldview. We have certainly our correspondent, Cheryl Hancock, over there in Jerusalem, who expresses what the Israeli people are feeling today, and that is certainly they're having certainly drills once or sometimes even twice a day in preparation for a chemical warfare attack, and Netanyahu has certainly warned the people that there could very well be an attack in the near future. John, on the other hand, thinks that certainly that the whole situation will quiet down. We're just going to have to wait and watch and see. But remember, certainly behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces, and certainly the things that we think are logical may not be logical at all when we have certainly a God who does have a plan. So the Israelis have a plan, and Assad has a plan, and Erdogan has a plan, and the Iranians have a plan, but God has a plan, and that's the one that's going to be carried out. Well, if you really need to like more information on Gulen, why you need to get the book, Crescent Moon Rising, by our friend Paul Williams. Crescent Moon Rising, that is the best book on Gulen, will give you a real good idea of what's going on, and certainly the fact that Gulen, one of the richest men in the world, and you'll never hear the controlled media talk about him because the media in America is controlled. And then, of course, we hope all of you want to go ahead and get the 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack and the DVD on the threat of an EMP attack and the other material we have, because this is not imaginary. It's very, very real, and you can get the information by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, the fact is we are living in a surveillance society. And basically, of course, the people in government are simply violating their oath of office. They're violating the laws. The man who wrote the Patriot Act, the congressman, says, this isn't what we voted for at all. But you see, what they want is a dictatorship in America. And behind that, the powerful spiritual forces that energize the leaders of both political parties were calling certainly Edward Snowden a traitor. I think he's a great patriot. I think he's risked everything to try to let us know what's going on. The question is, can the American people understand that there is no terrorist threat? The whole situation is phony. If you doubt certainly that, you need, of course, to get our material on what happened at the September 11th attack, 911 attack, 911 update. And why did the buildings come down? They're free, three, four tape or four CD sets. You'll have to call our 800 number to find out. You need to find out why those buildings come down. They were controlled demolition, ladies and gentlemen. Go up on the internet and watch Building 7 come down. Watch the center of the roof collapse first. That's what you do. You take out the center supports so the walls will fall in. And then, of course, you take out the base of the building. Building 7 was controlled demolition. And then start watching the Twin Towers come down. And notice how the top of the building simply sort of disappear, vaporize. Why would the tops of the building vaporize if this had to do with simply a gravity collapse, a pancake collapse? Of course, they wouldn't. It was a controlled demolition. We have an excellent DVD. It's called Operation Terror. It's a fictionalized account of what went down, and I think it's exactly what happened. Operation Terror. So let me suggest 9/11 update. These are 4-CD of tape sets. And then, of course, why did the buildings come down? My interview, certainly, with a lieutenant, Sergeant Leo Chavez, who disappeared shortly after he was on my program and not to be seen or heard from since. And then we ask you to pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for radio liberty, our provision and protection.
Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities.
and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free. That is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Greater Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Stephen Frank, who's been an activist about as long as I have, and now he, of course, is Sydney, puts together a daily blog to try to keep the people abreast of the fast-acting and developing problems here in the United States. Stephen, thanks very much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, always glad to be with you.
What are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, I thought we would talk about the most timely of issues, the scandals of Washington. There are so many of them. I know your show's only an hour. You may need 24 hours to go over all of them.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you know, basically we find that many of the leaders of Congress, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, are calling Edward Snowden a traitor because now he's let the enemy, let the terrorists know what we're doing. And now they're not going to keep using the telephone and faxes and emails to communicate. Now that they know that we're listening to everything. But the question is there really a terrorist threat, or is this all contrived to justify the surveillance society? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not sure there's a terrorist threat, but I do know there's a threat from the government, our government, stealing our constitutional rights, and that's what Snowden did. Snowden thought that the violation of the Constitution by the U.S. government in such a blatant form had to be stopped. Yet on the other hand, what he did was tell us what we already knew. You and I on this show, on a few occasions, talked about a national program called Echelon, which is the federal government through the National Security Agency monitoring all phone calls and emails. So they've been doing this since the passage of the Patriot Act just after 9/11. So this isn't anything new.
Well, basically, it means then that the terrorists aren't listening to you and to me because they had no idea this was going on until, of course, Edward Snowden came out and made the statement publicly. And if anybody really believes that, ladies and gentlemen, the terrorists know what's going on. They know that suddenly everything that they say on the telephone, everything that they write in an email, everything that they write in a fax is going to be read. It's just the American people don't know that.
Well, all you have to do is look what happened a few weeks ago in Boston at the Boston Marathon when terrorists from Chechen were able to explode pressure cookers and kill several people. They had been on email. They had been on the phones with people back in Chechnya and other places in order to get information, get money. Why didn't the federal government, if they're monitoring you and me, why weren't they monitoring these people, one of whom tried to become a U.S. citizen and was turned down because they had concerns that he was a terrorist.
Well, I think that they were monitoring. I think the dog telling is the truth. They actually had the police dogs there, the bomb sniffing police dogs. I mean, basically, if you look at the pictures there, you see every place you look, there are police wearing their yellow jackets, and there's some fellow falls down. I counted about 10 policemen out there in the streets, not too far away from him. There were six right around him, and three or four not too far away. They were all prepared for the bombing. They knew it was coming down. Why would you have bomb-sniffing dogs? Oh, well, it was just a practice. Well, then why did you deny that it was a practice? Well, we didn't know what was going on. They lie. They consistently lie. You can tell what a government official is lying because his lips are moving. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a real problem. When we can have government officials who lie, and when somebody tells the truth, we call them a traitor. We have a real problem. We have a very real problem. Stephen, you go right ahead.
Well, the bigger problem is for your audience and for honest, decent people in the United States. The federal government knows who the terrorists are. They know who the cells are. Those are the people that should be monitored. Those are the people that should be picked up. Those are the people who should be deported. Yet our government does none of that, though they claim they monitor these people. And then at the very last moment, they say, gee whiz, we just found them who are going to blow up a building in Buffalo or a building in Cleveland, and aren't we great people? Well, the fact is they've allowed the folks to get that far in the planning sessions in order to then make the headlines that at the last minute they stopped the bombings. And it seems more like the federal government and the Obama administration is using the picking up of terrorists as a publicity stunt rather than a security measure.
I share your concerns. I think that basically we're getting a lot of faulty information.
Well, we're not only getting faulty information. Faulty information means the federal government is giving out stuff, material that's erroneous, but they didn't know about it. So I'll disagree with you. I don't think that they are giving out erroneous or faulty information. I think the federal government is just downright lying to the American people as to what they're doing. I've noticed in all of the media since Snowden reported what he did, nowhere have I seen the term echelon. Nowhere have I seen the mainstream media discuss the long history of all of this. It didn't start with Obama. And most interesting, Obama in 2007, as a U.S. senator, voted to end this sort of practice. He said no to it as a U.S. senator, but as president of the United States, he decides not only to continue it, but to expand it. So the bigger question is, what words of Barack Obama can we absolutely trust? And as far as I could tell, nothing he said has been accurate. He has an attorney general that sold guns to the drug cartels, and the president of the United States thinks that's okay because he didn't fire him. We have a Secretary of Health and Human Services that denied a 10-year-old girl the right to live by having a lung transplant.
Hold that thought, Stephen. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Stephen brought up certainly the Boston bombing, and I would simply could challenge our listeners. If you really believe the government story, go up on the Internet and just get the YouTube pictures of the two brothers, certainly the two Chesnian brothers, and they have a black cap, backpacks. Well, one of them has a black backpack. You can see it. But look at it. Look at it. There's no way there'd be room in there for a pressure cooker. I mean, it was maybe 6 inches thick, and the pressure cooker is much larger than that. And then both of the backpacks that contained pressure cookers were black. And one of the two brothers had a white one. You see it, he carrying it under his arm. It was white. So how did it go from white to black? And how did you get a pressure cooker into a backpack of the older brother? What, it wouldn't fit in there? That doesn't make sense. Yeah, the interesting thing is that I made an observation on a fellow named Blackman, Jeff Bowman. And Jeff Bowman, certainly we all saw the pictures of him. He's got a great deal of play. And basically, you saw the initial pictures of him. He's just had both legs blown off. One leg very high up on the right side. It looks like maybe 6 inches of the leg left. And then, of course, the other leg below the knee. And then, of course, sticking out of the stump there, what looks almost like a well-healed stump, is this piece of bloody bone. Now, certainly I've done orthopedics for the better part of half a century. I never saw anything like that. It isn't real. I knew it wasn't real. It was a BK amputation on the left, a high amputation on the right, AK amputation on the right. But the interesting thing about it was, of course, that here's a man who's had both legs blown off, and he's sitting in a wheelchair. He's not screaming or writhing in pain. He's not in shock. He looks a little disheveled, doesn't look too happy, he's not smiling at all. But why would you put somebody in profound shock into a wheelchair? You just wouldn't do that. And yet, this is what we saw. Everybody saw those pictures. And then, of course, we see him a few days later. He has bilateral above-knee amputations. So why did he go from a below-knee amputation on the left to above-knee amputation on the left? Certainly, and 19 days later, he's laughing and smiling and waving a flag at the Boston Bruin hockey game. And a couple of weeks after that, he's at the baseball game in Boston, and he is actually throwing the first ball in. He's laughing and smiling, and he's just lost both legs, ladies and gentlemen. His life has been destroyed. Why does he look so happy? And basically, of course, we personally tried to reach him. We actually talked to the hospitals. They denied he was there. We talked to the rehab center. They denied he was there. Eventually, we were able to get the press officer there, who I will tell you, if I've ever talked to anybody who felt ill at ease, it was this fellow I was talking to from the press office. He told me that he had certainly transmitted my request to talk to Jeff Bowman, to the family, but that the family had... I decided, well, obviously, they didn't want to talk to me. They were dealing with the New York Times. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Times is part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Why not just talk to other reporters? But, of course, they're not going to. There's something very strange about the story. But the interesting thing was that I made some remarks very similar to what I just said. On one of my programs, one of our listeners recorded them word for word, put it up on the Internet. And basically, you can go up there and type in Jeff Bowman's Dr. Monteith, the Dr. Stan. You'll probably find 30 or 40 places where that story was reproduced. People are really interested in that. Jeff Bowman, Dr. Stan, and basically just reproduced my remarks. I made a remark about a tourniquet, which may not have been entirely accurate, but there's no question. He had a BK amputation after the accident, and suddenly... they amputated the rest of his leg on the left side. Why would they have done that? And wow, did he ever have suddenly, if you look at all the pictures, you'll see some of them where he has a well-healed below-the-knee amputation stump with a piece of bone sticking out of the end of it, but no laceration of the skin, no muscle, no nothing, at least those pictures of him laying on the ground initially. You can see it all up on the Internet if they haven't taken them down and shredded them. But fascinating information. We haven't been told the truth. I don't know what happened, but I know we haven't been told the truth. Go right ahead.
And I would suspect, Dr. Stan, that we're not going to be told the truth, because this federal government and the federal government, it's been a long time since the truth has come out from the government.
Well, you know, the president went on the air, went on television, and he said, well, they may be tracking the telephone numbers, but they're not listening to the telephone calls. They're tracking the telephone numbers, but they're not listening to the telephone calls. And then it turns out they are listening to the telephone calls. Barack Obama either doesn't know what's going on, or he frankly lied to the American people. And where's the call for impeachment? There's no call for impeachment. All they are is, what are we going to do with that traitor who came out and told the terrorists that we were listening to the telephone calls. You know, he needs to be tracked down. We need to bring him back to America. We need to try him for high crimes. And both John Boehner, Speaker of the House, and Dianne Feinstein, liberal senator, has called this man a traitor. I think he's a great hero. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure he's a great hero. I think the term I would use is patriot. Here's a gentleman who understood what the Constitution stands for, and instead of hiding the facts, he has been willing to tell the truth. And the most fascinating thing is, I don't know if you've seen it on the internet, all of a sudden a picture of him several years ago at a frat-type party shows up with him taking his pants down on the internet. Then the White House starts putting out the story that he is possibly a Chinese spy, which is why he went to Hong Kong. And they put out a whole bunch of misinformation about the guy. The issue is not Snowden. The issue is, why is the federal government using its resources to spy on us? I don't know if you know the story, but somebody found out that the IRS had bought millions of dollars of spy equipment. And when that story came out yesterday, the IRS was forced to cancel the order. The IRS is now being used as a spy system against the American people. I'm not talking about merely the finances. They had listening devices. One of the funniest listening devices the IRS was buying was a coffee tray that doubled as a listening device. So you would take coffee into somebody's office and leave the tray there with the coffee on it, and then the federal government, the IRS, would be able to hear what people are saying.
Well, I think people have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a cell phone, many of them have software in it so that even when your cell phone is turned off, they can listen to your conversations. If you have a computer, many of them have software in them. They can certainly hear anything you say when you're close to your computer. Basically, of course, whenever you go on to the internet and you are taking a picture of yourself and transmitting it to somebody else and watching their picture, they can watch all of this. They can spy on everything, and this has nothing to do with terrorism. They are collecting dossiers on every citizen, and you'll find this all laid out in something called fusion centers. Go up and look up fusion centers on the internet. After you've looked up Project Echelon, look up fusion centers. You'll find out that's where they take all of your dossiers. You don't just have one. You have a whole flock of them. The FBI is spying on you. I've seen my FBI file a dozen, 20 years ago. Dozens of pages all blacked out in the name of national security. And what was my crime? Well, I was a patriot, and basically they were spying on everything I did. Dozens of pages blacked out, and then the CIA has a dossier on you, DARPA has a dossier on you, Office of Homeland Security has a dossier on you. How many other dossiers there are, I don't know. But you can rest assured they're all coordinated there in the fusion centers. Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, one of the stories that I did today was that, and I didn't realize it, I kind of knew it, but I didn't realize it, but several months ago, the IRS was caught stealing the medical records of 10 million Californians. And now the IRS has those records. They claim they gave them back, but as everybody knows, you with digital records, it's easy to make copies and give back and claim to give back the originals while keeping copies. So the IRS now has the medical records of 10 million Californians, so they could tell what type of history they have, make a determination whether the some people have mental illnesses, or make a determination that they don't, because of their medical records, which are private, that they shouldn't be allowed the full scope of health care when the IRS, of all the agencies, the IRS takes over the health care of the American people on January 1st, 2014. The IRS will make the determination, Dr. Stan, what quality health care you must have, and if you don't buy based on their schedule, they will fine you.
And of course, because you're a Californian, they have your medical records, at least records of 10 million Californians, which is over one-fourth of all Californians.
I share your concern, Stephen. I really do. And basically, of course, I will tell you that all of the problems in medicine today, all every major problem is directly related to Medicare and to Medicaid. Over 100 million Americans are on Medicare and Medicaid. And it is because of that that they've essentially driven up the costs of medicine to the point where if you get really ill, why, of course, you could be wiped out financially if you don't have insurance. And it's all totally unfair. It's simply go to the hospital and tell them you don't have the money, and they'll give cut your bill, 20, 30, 40, 60, 80%. Everybody knows it's all fraudulent. Nobody wants to stand up and say there's no problem facing America today that a new government program won't make worse. Our guest is Stephen Frank. We'll be back in a moment here at Radio Liberty. We're in real trouble.
Kind of makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
Hello, son.
Hi, ma'am. Hello, darling.
hear some?
Brand new, first time in the air. Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Bang 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Stephen Frank. And Stephen, you go right ahead.
Well, as we were saying, and you're right, the cost of health care is going up. Here in California, private health insurance, thanks to Obamacare, starting January 1st, just a few months from now, is going to go up approximately 146%. The good folks in Ohio, their insurance is only going to go up 88%. It will make it totally unaffordable for a lot of people. But even though we're talking about money and costs, there's a bigger issue. Who is going to be allowed to get health care? Because health care is going to become too expensive, and there's not enough tax dollars to subsidize everybody. And, of course, if Senator Rubio and the Democrats have their way, we're going to have 11 million illegal aliens become legal in this country and therefore allowed to have free health care in full. And that's going to be a disaster. Just as we all know, just a month ago, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Sebelius, denied a 10-year-old girl from having a lung transplant because she was too young. Happily, today she had that transplant, and she is doing okay.
But, of course, it's only because of the public outcry of the fact they want to kill this little girl. But they kill children all the time. They kill all sorts of people. You never hear of. She's very fortunate that she got a lot of publicity. And certainly I would give 60 Minutes and some of the other television programs credit for that. But they kill people all the time. You just never hear about what their policies are doing. And whether it's the suppression of effective cancer treatment, whether it's prescribing and allowing the distribution of medications like Vioxx that killed 60,000 Americans. Vioxx killed 60,000 Americans. We know of some people say it was 150, but at least 60,000. They knew what they were doing, ladies and gentlemen. They just don't want the public to know. But go ahead, Stephen.
And at the other end, we have people in their 60s and 70s who will stop being given the medical care they need and even the medicine they need. The death panel has already ruled that women with certain type of cancers are not allowed life-saving drugs because the drugs are too expensive. So the federal government has decided to allow these women to die. One note on an international basis, I believe it's Belgium. Belgium's parliament is about to pass a bill to allow kids 10 and under to decide they want to die and allow the kids to decide euthanasia. And can you imagine a 3 or 4 year old thinking in terms that they'll be able to make such a decision on their own? That's just impossible to fathom, but we're beginning to see this around the world where governments are actively involved in trying to kill off their people.
Well, that basically in America, they call it death with dignity. And I will tell you that here in America, many times older people go in the hospital and they're not terminal, but they simply take away their food and their water and they put them on narcotics. And once they get into a hospice, why, that is like a death penalty. You can only stay there for a certain length of time, so they have to kill you off. And this is not universal. There are still a lot of people in the medical profession who have a moral concept and who trained, as I was, in the dignity of human life. But there are other people, certainly, have adopted the English mode in England today. They kill about 120,000 people every year, elderly, who actually are not terminal. They simply put them in the hospital, take away food and water, put them on narcotics and kill them. Look it up on the internet. Don't take my word for it. And remember, they're a nation of 40 million people, 40 to 50 million, depending on whether you include Wales and Scotland. They simply kill the people there. Why? Because there's not enough money. And they're already beginning to do it here. It's called Death with Dignity and the hospice care system. Some are very good. Some of them are not good at all. They're part and parcel of what I call the brotherhood. But go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, and the sad part is that these death pounds, there are three of them in total, set up by the Obamacare. To be on one of those pounds, you do not need to be a physician or be in the medical field. In fact, the determination to allow women with breast cancer to die was made by a death panel that had no physicians, no one with a medical background involved in that decision.
And there really are treatments for breast cancer and other metastatic cancer that are curative, but you can't get them in America. You can go to Mexico and get them. Why can't you get them in America? Why? Well, the FDA is there to make our system work. They're there to protect someone, but they're not there to protect the patient. Ladies and gentlemen, when you lose the moral foundation of a nation, then no man's life or property or family are safe.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a
Stephen, go right ahead.
And, you know, there's another issue that needs to be discussed involved with privacy and security of the American public, and that's the use of these drones that the president has now declared legal, without any background, but legal to spy on us or to shoot us down. If you remember a few weeks ago, it became known that the federal government had brought charges privately and secretly against a reporter for Fox News by the name of James Rosen. And he was being charged with being a potential traitor to the United States because he had received material that he then used in a news report to show the duplicity of the federal government. The key phrase in there is that he was a possible traitor, and that's why the judge gave the order to allow him, James Rosen, to have his privacy taken away and the federal government to look at his mail and his phone calls and even bother and harass his parents. The reason I bring this up is that almost the same time, President Obama made a determination that he was going to issue an executive order as to how the drones can be used. And in his executive order, it says that drones may be used to kill people only if they've been charged with the potential of being terrorists. So if you think about it, what President Obama said was that if he used, based on his executive order, if he used a drone to kill James Rosen, it would be totally legal to do so, to use an unmanned plane to kill a reporter because the federal government trumped up charges against a reporter. And that's how easy it is for the president to use not merely the IRS or the CIA or the NSA against people. Literally, he can use drones against American citizens. All he has to do is trump up charges claiming that they are terrorists, and therefore they no longer have a constitutional right.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Stephen was saying that basically there was a reporter named Rosen who had actually gotten some information, and he actually used it in an article. And basically then, of course, the government went to a judge and they said, look, this man may be a traitor. And therefore, the judge gave the government the right to permission to go through all of his emails or all of his writings. Well, of course, they were doing it anyway. You have to understand, it depends on the type of government. The FBI certainly is not free to do whatever they want to. It's the NSA that's free to do whatever they want to. And I want you to know the NSA, contrary to everything you've heard, the NSA doesn't listen to our telephone calls or read our faxes. They get British intelligence to do that. And then we go over to Great Britain, and we do listen to all the phone calls in Great Britain and Europe, and then we give all the information to the British, and the British give all the information to us. But NSA officials can go before certainly the government, congressional committees, Senate committees, and say, we do not listen to telephone calls. And that's a half-truth. But a half-truth is no better than a lie. Well, Stephen's point was that basically, of course, the President Obama has passed an executive order very quietly saying that if somebody is suspected of being a terrorist, they can be killed by drone. And, of course, what a frightening thing it is that you have to, you could just being suspected of being a terrorist, but I would say even more frightening than that, this is not potential. There was a gentleman, his name was Al Awaki, I believe it was, and he was suspected of being a terrorist over in Yemen. He's an American citizen, but he was critical of America, and he'd actually been there to try to recruit him on a couple of times. He would not be recruited, and he was critical of America, so they sent a drone out and killed he and his friend. Well, certainly he was critical of America. There's no evidence he was necessarily involved in any terrorist activity, but he was critical of America. However, his 16-year-old son was not a political activist. His 16-year-old son went over to Yemen to look for his father, and they sent a drone out and killed the 16-year-old son, who was never charged with anything. That, of course, I think is the most frightening thing, because it means, of course, they're not only going to kill you, they're going to kill your family. And where is the outcry from the Christian ministers in America? Where is the outcry from the American media? Where is the outcry? You probably never even heard this story. It is in my latest newsletter. I hope many of you want to get the newsletter. If you don't subscribe, we'll be glad to send you a free copy. And if you do subscribe, you'll be getting it here in a couple of weeks, as soon as we get this thing done, but it mailed. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is not theoretical. This is real. They killed a 16-year-old boy because his father was accused, not never convicted, never indicted, was simply accused of being a terrorist, and they killed the 16-year-old son independently 2 weeks after they killed the father. And when asked, one government official said, well, he should have been more careful who his father was, and then he smiled. Go right ahead.
Well, Jack's position with that, the other day, just so your audience gets an understanding how radical this is, the other day, a gentleman by the name of Richard Ramirez died in prison. Richard Ramirez is known as the Night Stalker. He killed many women in the 1980s in the Los Angeles area. And in the story about his death, not from the death penalty, it came about that it took the state Supreme Court 18 years for one court to decide that his conviction was accurate. 18 years in one court for the justices to make that determination. Yet on the other hand, the 16-year-old boy was killed by executive order. The president had to have ordered that shooting.
And that is murder, and there's no statute of limitation on murder, and there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the president the right to murder a 16-year-old boy. Well, where's the outcry from the media? Where's the outcry from our ministers? Where's the outcry from our churches? Where's the outcry from our political leaders? People like John Boehner. Go ahead.
Well, the bigger issue is, why isn't a group like the ACLU suing on behalf of the family, because that boy was an American citizen? And an American citizen was killed by the American government illegally, and no one has paid for it, and no one has been punished for it, and no one has been named as the one responsible for issuing the order to kill the boy. We have a government that is out of control.
But the thing is that somebody in the military followed orders and killed him. No, Sydney, when you are in the military and you're following orders and you kill an innocent individual, are you guilty of a crime, or Sydney, can you justify it saying, well, I was just carrying out orders?
Well, that's why I call Snowden a patriot, because he decided that the law of the land, which is the Constitution, is more important than the words of a president and the actions of a government. He decided that the Constitution comes before men. And I'm not happy that all of that became public. He had every right to do so on the basis that Americans had their rights violated by their own government, and no one else was willing to tell the truth.
Well, but you and I have been talking, we've been talking about this for years, and any of our people who listen to our program know that we've been talking about all the things that are in place for the surveillance society, including the fact that for 20 to 30 years, long before the 9/11 attack, they were reading all of our newspapers, emails and all of our faxes and listening to all of our telephone calls and keeping them permanently recorded and suddenly going over them with a computer which would scan them. But the thing is that suddenly I think the people who listen to alternative media, who listen to Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and my programs and similar programs, are aware of this. But it was never picked up by the media. And, of course, what I'd really like to know is, why would The Guardian, which is part of the problem, pick this up? Why would The Washington Post, which is part of the establishment, pick this up? Or is this all simply a diversion to so they can say, well, of course these things are going on, but we had to listen to all the conversations because we wanted to protect you from those bad guys.
Well, you know, Dr. Sten, you bring up a good point. Why did they do that? I'd like you to think in larger term. Over the past 6 weeks, and just in the past 6 weeks, we have found out about the federal government spying on AP reporters, spying on Fox reporters. We found out that the IRS has been abusing its rights on issuing 501c3s, has been asking for the prayers. Literally, one Tea Party group was asked for a transcript of the prayers that they use at their meetings. All of a sudden, we have Snowden releasing all this. All of these scandals, all of this massive law violation by the President of the United States, and the President is the one responsible, all of this, and the Sebelius 10-year-old girl situation, all of this in the last 6 weeks. Prior to that, we had a lot of little scandals like Fast and Furious, the selling of guns to drug dealers in Mexico, and every once in a while a scandal here or a scandal there. But in the last 6 weeks, it's like the water torture. Almost every day, a new scandal comes out. And like today's, that it came out that the IRS had been buying millions of dollars worth of spying equipment, not the CIA, not the security agencies of our government. The IRS has been buying spying equipment. And as you may know, departments of health and human services and a variety of other departments have been buying billions of rounds of ammunition and trying to dry up the supply of ammunition for the private sector to buy. All of this is happening all within the last 6 weeks.
But why, Stephen? The question is, you're absolutely right, but why? And there has to be a reason for it. And I think that this is the really key issue. Everything, of course, is aimed at manipulating our reality, manipulating our emotions, manipulating how we react. There is a reason why they're doing it at this time in history. What are your thoughts?
Well, I believe that for whatever reason, and I don't know what it is, but it seems to me like the mainstream media has begun to turn on the president. I'm not sure why, but they have. And they are now releasing all of these scandals one by one, And almost every day I get up at 5:30 in the morning. First thing I do is I go to a variety of newspapers, both here in the U.S. and online, and internationally online. And there's every morning for the past 6 weeks, there has been a different type of scandal of the president or the administration, large and small. Last week, there was a scandal I reported that Senator Feinstein's husband received a contract to sell $1 billion worth of post offices with a 6% commission. And the post office department claims that they had that this was done based on competitive bidding. Well, 6% commission is at the very high end of real estate commission. No one pays 6% unless they don't negotiate. You can always negotiate down the commission that a realtor gets on the sale of your home or your property. And here you have $1 billion worth of sales, and he gets it. The senator's husband gets it, and actually the senator gets it because she, and this is a community property state, she gets part of his commission.
And because basically, of course, this is totally immoral and illegal, and she should be sent to prison, but she's not going to be. In fact, most people haven't heard of this. Let me just share something with you. Basically, of course, everybody's heard about Susan Rice. She's been selected to become the new National Security Advisor. That is a foreign policy advisor to the President of the United States. It's one of the most important positions in the country. Why did he pick Susan Rice? Now, she is to replace a man named Thomas Donilon.
But you have to remember one of the things, she is not a fan of Israel.
Well, I know, but the thing is that Susan Rice just happened to come from the Trilateral Commission. And so did Thomas Donilon. There's only 86 members of this little group. And yet, of course, the first general, I think it was James Jones, I think was his name. He was the first National Security Council. He was replaced by Thomas Donilon. Jones came from the Trilateral Commission. Donilon came from the Trilateral Commission. Susan Rice came from the Trilateral Commission. They're the ones who run the government. They, when Obama became president, certainly in 2009, he picked 11 of the 86 members of the Trilateral Commission, North American chapter, to be his closest advisors. All of the people in the government came from that point. Of course, every president and or vice president between 1977 and the year 2008 came from the membership roles of this little organization. Six of the eight presidents of the World Bank, including the present one, Robert Zoellick, eight of the 10 World Trade Representatives, seven of the 12 Secretaries of State, and nine of the 12 Secretaries of Defense all came from this little group. These are the people who run things. And my view, and I don't know if this is right, Stephen, but I basically reading articles by Mortimer Zuckerman before the election in 2012, I don't think the Trilateral Commission, Mortimer Zuckerman's member of the Trilateral Commission too, and reading what he wrote, I don't think they wanted Obama to win. But they cheated, basically. There were thousands of voting irregularities in 2012, and they were never brought up, because they don't want the American people to realize how phony the electoral process is. But Obama got in, and I don't think they wanted him. And I can't help but wonder, and I may be just way out on a limb here, Stephen, but I think that they're going to impeach Obama. I may be mistaken. We'll just have to wait and see how it unfolds. But basically, I don't know any other logical explanation for what's going on today. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Well, I agree with you on the major point. They are out to get him. And when I say they are, I'm talking about the establishment. When the Washington Post and the New York Times puts out stories against the president, and CNN reports stories against the president, and you have this continuous drumbeat of scandals breaking every single day, It's not a happenstance. There are no coincidences in politics and public life. This is a planned strategy by some group, and it might be the Trilateralists. It may be the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations. I don't know who it is. But there is somebody and some bodies who are behind all this in a concerted effort to take away the powers of the president. Why, I don't know, because it seems to me that he's doing everything they would want and more. He has taken over the economy. He has taken over our health care. He has taken over our education. We haven't even talked about the Common Core, which is the federalization of local schools.
Right.
And so he's done everything that they could possibly want, and yet they're now coming after him. Maybe they just think he's lost his effectiveness and they need to put somebody else in. And, of course, if he leaves, the person who takes his place is Joe Biden.
Oh, heavens, heavens. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, in the 1980s, there's a story that came out last week. In the 1980s, Joe Biden had a brain tumor. This is a true story. And they had to open up his head, of course, and take care of the brain tumor. And he made a comment afterwards that the surgeons did make sure he was cancer-free, but that he also took half his brain. And while he may have joked about it, I'm not sure he, with all of his gaps, I mean, just listening to the man talk, he's always saying something that's embarrassing, and the mainstream media just laughs it off. Well, I remember what they did to Vice President Quayle when he misspelled the word potato and made him a laughingstock for that one act.
Well, they can make anybody a laughingstock or ridicule anyone they want to. They can destroy anyone, no matter who they are. In fact, one of the finest athletes we ever had as president was a man named Gerald Ford. He was an All-American football player, and they made him out to be a stumbling idiot. You know, he was always tripping. They could make people believe that black was white and purple was red. They have that ability over the minds and reality of the American people. And our job is to try to get people to understand that there are people out there who control the media. If you haven't read the book, The New Media Monopoly, you need to get it. Steve, how can people get to your website?
They can get the California Political News and Views by going to capoliticalnews.com. CAPoliticalNews.com, and on the right side of the webpage, just put in your email address and hit submit, and you will get every morning at 3 a.m. a newsletter.
Hold that thought. Go right ahead.
And then at 3 a.m. every morning, if you go to CAPoliticalNews.com and sign up for a free subscription, you will get the news that the mainstream media doesn't want to print, or the news that they misstate the facts and the conclusions, and you'll get a more conservative and accurate response as to why these things happen.
One more time, the name.
California Political News and Views at capoliticalnews.com.
capoliticalnews.com. Okay, fine. Well, I really appreciate you being with us. Do you have a parting thought before we let you go?
It's the same one I've had before, Dr. Stan. Things are bad in Washington, but the only reason that they can get away with that is because people listen to shows like this and then do nothing with the information that they gather. It's important not only to get information, but you must use the information, tell others about it, write letters, go on talk shows, go to town halls, meet with your elected officials, get involved in the process. And when the government takes away your privacy, don't just tell your spouse, gee, how terrible it is. Go out and rally about it. Let the elected officials know that this is wrong, whatever the government has done to invade your privacy or take away your rights.
I agree with you totally. I think that we're on the verge of something very large. I'm not sure what it is, but I certainly have a sense of foreboding. I think an awful lot of people have it. In fact, we had Catherine Albrecht on with us this afternoon, one of my favorite guests, and she was just saying whenever she gets on a plane, she always asks the people sitting next to her, you know, if they have a sense of foreboding. And she says almost universally they do. And she said, you know, whether Christians, non-Christians, doesn't matter. They have a sense of foreboding. I think most people need something's wrong. and know that something's wrong. Our job is to explain what's wrong and mobilize people as you're trying to do and we're trying to do. God bless you, Steve. Thanks very much for being with us. It's always my pleasure to have you as a guest.
Dr. Sten, always glad to be with you. God bless you.
Good night. Bye-bye. And we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
This is Dr. Sten. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Stephen Frank. And certainly you can get his material. Go to californiapoliticalnews.com, californiapoliticalnews.com. And you can actually sign up there and get a free email every morning. And he'll give you the news you're not going to get elsewhere. Steve has been at this as long as I have. We each have our own way of reaching people. But, of course, once you have the information, you have to start telling your neighbors. You have to start telling your friends. You have to start telling the people in the church and the people you work with. Your job is to get the information out. And then get them to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. To hear our talk on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. Our talk on population control, The Covert Agenda. My interview with certainly the American ambassador to Cuba, Earl C. Smith, Earl T. Smith, it's called the New World Order. And my interview with certainly Norman Dodd, The Desperate Deception. They're all available on the internet by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're only going to get one thing, get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. If you are going to be at the Pikes Peak Conference on July 26th and 27th and 28th, why we're going to be there, and if you'd like to help us at one of our tables, why we'd love to meet you, and if you could spend an hour or two with us, why it would be a big help. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because we quite frankly need your help to be able to do what we're doing. We had just a call today, an opportunity to be on a station every day there in Mocksville, North Carolina. And we're hoping that we can get one of our afternoon programs there. And but all of this is expensive financially, and if you're in a position to help, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Get our four best CDs, tapes of the month, and get to subscribe to our newsletter. You can certainly get our tapes or our four tape sets or our CDs or our books. I hope that many of you will give serious consideration to getting our health products. These are products that Barbara and I take, and basically most people need supplement vitamin D3. It's one of the most important things you can take. And of course, they're giving you the wrong figures intentionally, because they want you to be vitamin D deficient. After all, vitamin D actually plays a large part in preventing cancer, and that's the last thing they want to do, because there are too many people in the world. You can't get adequate cancer treatments here. You can get them in Mexico, but don't you try to get them in the United States, or they'll put the people who are using and doing the right thing in prison. So basically, of course, you can get vitamin D3, we carry magnesium and selenium, and certainly krill oil, all sorts of the things that you need, medicine Barbara and I take. And you can get the list of the health products by calling 1-800-544-8927, supplementary iodine, we call it Iodorol, so you'll get as much iodine as the people over there in Japan. But anyway, Chris, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the list of the health products. We do carry spices as well. Why do we carry spices? Well, because they dress up the taste of the food. And certainly it helps us by distributing these to maintain our network of outlets. And then, of course, we carry Miracle 2 soap products, which we do personally use. And then, of course, we carry certain Berkey water filters. And if you don't have them, you really need to get them. Why? Because we're moving into cataclysmic changes. Cataclysmic situation, you can survive without food, but you can't survive without potable water. And certainly, you get the big Berkey, the Berkey Light. But anyway, our number is 1-800-544-8927. You should have extra filters. We ask you to pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 12 June, Wednesday, 2013. You're in the right place. That is if you want to hear it. You want to hear the other side of the story or perhaps the continuation of the story. If you were watching television yesterday, you saw the next major incursion that the United States may enter. Without a doubt. Did you notice if you were watching television yesterday, and I want to spare those of you who were, and I'm glad you did spare yourself of watching it, that it appeared to be like what happened at Sandy Hook, what happened at Aurora, what happened at Tucson. The news, every network focusing on one thing. And from a few of the statements that were made, I believe it means we're getting ready to enter in to another battle. Now, we must be using Chinese soldiers or somebody's soldiers. Where are they coming from? Ours are depleted. And I use that word meaning both things. They're tired, they're spent, and they're full of depleted uranium. So who are we going to use and what are we going to use?